The Big Show.
Wake up with PT 3BA.
Let's shoot the breeze with Alex Center from the bigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex, and happy Australia Day.
Thank you. Happy to you too.
And even though you're in the good old US of A, you're still Australian at heart, aren't you?
100%. Love Australia.
Of course you do. You're coming back home soon. You're going to come for a visit.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm coming back next week.
Okay. Well, look forward to having you back on our shores. Music is something that you and I love. In particular, we love Christmas music, don't we?
I do. I like listening to Christmas music from like October onwards.
Well, according to a new study where music is concerned, it takes 9 minutes to make you happy, 13 to release the sadness. Thankfully, the sadness comes much later than the happiness.
Yeah, I mean, look, the interesting thing about the research is it looked into how music enhanced performance. So that could be while you were exercising, but it also could be around focus. And what the study found was that 13 minutes of listening to music was enough to help an individual focus. So whether that was clearing their mind or helping them work better on their job, they said 91% of people said that that's the time frame it took to help make decisions more clearly and just feel more focused. And then at the same time, it was around 13 minutes that it took to I guess, help a listener respond to relief or feel less overwhelmed and more stable when listening to music. So the research really did look into how we use music in our day-to-day lives to enhance not only our mental health, but also being able to be more professional, being able to engage with others more and feel uplifted.
It is the thing of the world, I reckon. They say maths make the world go round, but I reckon it's music, just quietly.
100%. I mean, look, 90.15% of the people in the study said that they used music to relax. But then 46.5% of them said they used it to process or release things that they were trying to understand in life.
Yeah.
So whether that was a serious issue or work or whatever it might be. So, you know, we understand the impact, the therapeutic effect that it has.
I wonder if our scientists are sitting there listening to music whilst they think about what they're going to create next. And speaking of which, scientists have created a bubble that lasted for 465 days and then popped it out of boredom. What's going on here, Alex?
So it seemed to be a fun study that the scientists did. They really were trying to look into what sort of bubble had the most longevity. So they designed bubbles that were made of composite liquid film. They actually played around with different ways of doing that. So, for example, using soap bubbles, using water-based gas bubbles, and marbles and water glycerol-based gas marbles. And what they found was that the soap bubbles, they lasted the shortest amount of time, so normally less than 1 minute before they popped. And it was the water glycerol marbles that lasted the longest, with the major bubble lasting 465 days before popping. So they called it a geriatric bubble, which is a little bit offensive for the bubble, but that's what it was called. 465 days is all it took to be called geriatric.
And then they popped it out of boredom.
The whole thing was out of boredom.
Well, imagine coming in the office day after day just looking at the bubble going, wonder when it's going to pop.
When is this moment going to happen? 465 days later.
What do you reckon, team? When's it going to pop? Are we going to start a book on this? Who wants to bet? Let's wrap up Shoot the Breeze this morning with a little something about a movie called Dune. Now, an NFT copy of Dune just sold for $3.4 million, but possibly for the wrong reasons. Alex, before we delve into this story, can you just remind everyone of what an NFT is, please?
Yeah, so an NFT is essentially a way for somebody to own a digital version of a piece of art. It could be a meme, whatever it might be, and it basically sits on a blockchain. So a lot of people who invest in NFTs, they say it's quite high risk because there's still a lack of understanding around how tangible the asset is. So that's on one side, but NFTs have become very popular with even people like Martha Stewart selling photos, digital photos of her dogs with her Christmas trees as NFTs.
Wow.
So almost anything can become an NFT. But in this particular story, what was interesting about it is that a group paid $3 million for a rare copy of the production book for Dune, and they said that it was their intention to tokenize the book. The problem with the process was you can't actually do that because owning the NFT does not equal ownership of the film or the book's copyright. And that was the misunderstanding around the purchase. So these crypto enthusiasts, they kind of got ahead of themselves in regards to pouring this money into owning the NFT version of the book, not realizing that that didn't mean that they had copyright. And we've seen a lot of, cases recently where there's legal questions around NFTs, how confusing it can be. They don't, by them very nature, contain visual content. Mm. So they're just tokens. They're just really tokens that refer to works of digital art.
Does that mean the people that bought this NFT copy of Dune have just wasted $3 million?
I mean, again, it comes down to the value of what is an NFT. What is anybody who's purchased an NFT going to do with it? We've seen people, for example, purchase memes as an NFT for large amounts of money, and it's been largely seen as a milestone for the digital age. But what does it really mean in terms of value? Mm. And I think that's what people are still trying to understand.
It's a bit like crypto. Steer clear as far as I'm concerned.
Unless you understand it really well.
Yeah. Yeah, which I didn't. But that's a story for another day. Happy Australia Day, Alexandra Center from thebigsmoke.com.au. And we'll shoot the breeze next week.
Thank you so much.